delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hi, Rita.
Hi there, Sheba.
Welcome to Soul Brews with Sheba. I'm so delighted to welcome you on Coffee and Soul. Thank you so much for making the time.
My pleasure. Happy to be here. My first time on any kind of show. So I'm very delighted.
I'm super happy that you did make the time, Rita.
Thanks.
You have your cup of coffee ready with you?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I'm just also going to pour myself my cup.
What kind of coffee do you drink?
I normally have black. There are different kinds. Sometimes Mark's coffee, of course, from Oroville. Mm. And sometimes I take Blue Tokai, some of the estates coffee. I like normally a medium roast or a light roast. I don't really like too much a dark roast. So, cheers, Rita.
Cheers, Sheba. Good to see your face after such a long time.
Good to see you too. So can I just ask you to hold this cup of coffee in between your palms?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just sit back. And relax. Yeah, and just relax. Wonderful. And just close your eyes and the feeling of coffee, the warmth of the cup.
Yeah.
And the smells wafting, the fragrance. See if there's anything that comes up for you, Rita. Any feelings or images?
Basically, I get the feeling of the South Indian coffee brew, you know?
Yes.
I had spent about 3 weeks at, I forget the name of the hotel in Chennai, doing a course on a whole lot of things, hotel management, sales and marketing. And they had in their coffee shop. And I got addicted to the South Indian coffee.
Wow.
Yeah. With the result, can't find it anywhere in Calcutta. Every time we used to travel from Chennai to Pondicherry, Roma was not much of a coffee lover.
Yes.
But she'd definitely make a stop for me to have my South Indian brew. And you'd be surprised, there is no South Indian brew available in Pondicherry.
Really?
Yeah, I don't find it unless you go to, what was that restaurant?
Surguru?
No, the old one where they sell. It's a very old one. I don't think it's there anymore. That's the only place used to get it. And I used to say, how strange we are in the south of India and not able to get a South Indian brew.
I know. That's very interesting. I'm really surprised at that. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But that is my actually favorite coffee.
Okay.
And of course, then there's the Starbucks and then there's I drink Davidoff.
Yes.
Anything, but nothing beats the South Indian.
Yes, I know. Yeah, that's true. It's true. Yeah. So Rita, linking in from what you were just saying, you talked about going to Pondicherry. There was a mention of Roma. I'd love to hear a little more about, and my viewers to know a little more about you and your journey thus far. You know, how has it been for you? I know you worked in education since forever. And take us through it. Take us through your journey, your highs and lows. And some. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. You know, I wasn't always in education.
Mm.
I started out in the office as a... First, let me tell you, in our family, the kind of middle-aged, conservative family that I come from, believe it or not, girls were not allowed to work.
So, wow. How did you escape that? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my father was very keen on education. And when I finished my graduation and I said, I was a bit restless. Wasn't very that bright academically. I mean, I did get through. And I said, I don't want to study anymore. He said, okay, if you don't want to study, we'll get you married. I said, oh my goodness, that doesn't seem like a good option. So I said, no, I don't want to get married as yet. So he always used to say, teaching is a very noble profession. So I joined classes for teaching, teacher's training. Actually, I was quite devoted to my father. To me, he was the world.
Mm.
And he and I were always at loggerheads about everything. Mm. He would sit at the head of the table and I'd be at the foot of the table and we'd argue and butt heads because I wanted to question every diktat that he threw at us. And one of them was that, you know, teaching is a noble profession, so I enrolled for teaching.
Right.
And I got good grades, but then I took up a job. Strangely enough, this place called Hindi High School.
Okay.
And I was there for 15 days.
Okay. All of 15 days. Yeah, go ahead.
A, talking that much.
Yeah.
Just couldn't do it. Is to come home. And my dad would be very happy to see me and say, how was your day? And I'd say, okay, have a cup of tea, then we'll talk. 2 weeks is all I could manage because it was a boys' school.
Mm.
It was so rowdy and they would throw these paper plates at me.
Mm.
There were 45 students in the class. I hadn't the pockets.
Mm.
And I was this 118-pound girl who had never worn a sari and I was in my sari trying to be very teacherish and all that. Didn't work. And then when I resigned, of course, my results hadn't come out as yet.
Yes.
In the meanwhile, they gave me a job. When I resigned and went to the principal, he said, but why are you leaving?
Oh.
And I told him something very rude. I said, aapke school mein ameer logon ke badtameez ladke padte hain. That was Mr. Pandit. Pandit was brother of one of the famous actors in Hindi movie, Rajkumar.
Oh, okay.
So, and I got a whole, you know, in those days, teacher's salary was 250 bucks.
Yeah.
So whatever was my due, I got that salary and I walked back and I picked up little gifts for the entire family, dad, mom, sister, brothers, servants, friends. In those days, you could buy, there was this showroom downstairs, Bombay Dyeing. Yes. Beautiful saris for 5 rupees.
My God, that's amazing.
Amazing. I'm talking about 1965.
Mm,
right?
Mm.
You were born, probably.
No, just about. Just about before.
So I came home and I told my family that I quit and these are their gifts. And my father, very upset. He says, you will amount to nothing.
Yeah.
You understand Punjabi?
I understand Punjabi. Of course, I do. I'm a Punjabi. Yes.
Yeah. He tells me, Akhaan de vich kasun de ke roengi zindagi vich.
So translate it for my viewers.
Meaning you'll really weep bitter tears in the future because you'll amount to nothing.
Mm, mm, mm.
So that kind of lodged in my heart very deep.
Mm.
It hurt me quite a bit also.
Mm.
So I said, okay. Then I started doing law. That also was, he was very interested in astrology.
Okay.
And he had these friends who would come and discuss horoscopes and all.
Yes.
And of course, I was very argumentative.
Right.
Thanks to, you know, Perry Mason and all the other books that I used to read.
So you used to read a lot, Peter?
A lot. We had a Oxford bookstore library over here on Park Street. And we had a weekly membership of 5 books.
Okay.
So then I would drop them because you're not allowed to move out of the house so freely.
Mm.
So to go to the library was a very good excuse.
Right, right.
We trot off to the library, change our 5 books, finish it in 3 or 4 days' time, both of us. But since we were such good customers and we were so close to the house, Michael was the librarian there. He would let us change our books every 4th or 5th day instead of waiting for the mandatory week.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so this let the astrologer and my father decide that since I was so argumentative, I should try for law.
Okay.
Yeah, so I enrolled for law class. Then I said that I have to show my father that I can do something.
Mm.
So So we had a very dear friend, my sister's friend, Aisha. Mm. She used to work downstairs below this flat in airlines called Scandinavian Airlines.
Yes, SAS.
Yeah, SAS. Mm. So I told her, I said, I want to take up something. She said, take up anything. Doesn't matter. Don't go for the... She was quite a mentor for me. Mm. So we looked at these ads and I said, I'm not qualified for anything. And the one thing that I'm qualified for, I don't want to do it. So I found a job as a receptionist on telephone operator.
Okay.
So I told Aisha, but I don't know how to operate the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, doesn't matter. You come down to my office and I'll ask the girl to teach. So, and then she told me there are two types of boards.
Mm.
One is cordless, one is with cords and one is with levers.
Okay.
You go for this interview, you learn the lever system.
Mm.
And if they ask you which board have you got experience in, whatever they have, you say, I don't have experience in that. I have it in the other.
Mm.
So the whole career is founded on a lie. On a fib. And for a person who hates telling lies, who sticks by the truth so much, so they asked me, can you operate the board? I said, what board do you have? He said, we have the cord board. I said, no, I can learn it. I have practice on the lever board. They gave me the job. First and foremost, they couldn't believe that a person from my kind of family would want to come out and work. You know, those were different days.
Of course, yes.
So I got with that. And that was, I think, I turned 21 on 16th and I started work on the 25th of January.
Wow.
1965. So I came home and told my dad, I've got a job and I'm going to pay you back everything you spent on. So he laughed.
Yeah.
And then I refused to take any money from him. I wanted to pay my way on this wonderful, marvelous, huge salary of 585.
585.
Wow. 585 rupees. You should have seen me in those days. I had 24 pairs of sandals matching every outfit because the Chinese
should pay
for 20 bucks.
You were in Calcutta, right?
I was in Calcutta. Always.
Yeah, the Chinese shoemakers. Yeah.
So different colored sandals. And they hired me. I went for the interview in the sari, but then I switched to salwar kameez.
Yeah.
Because I still couldn't manage the sari very well. It was a British company called India Foils.
India Foils, yes. Okay. Yeah.
With its main office in UK called Vinesta Foils. And I was the baby of the organization.
Mm. Mm.
So I was there for 2.5 years. And then I switched to Bank of America. And in Bank of America, I was there 4 years. I asked for a transfer to Delhi when my father had a construction job.
Okay.
He was a civil engineer and contractor. Had his own company for construction, electrification, interior design.
Okay.
He got a job in Delhi and he was there for 6-8 months. And I told my people in Bank of America, Calcutta, I want to be transferred to Delhi.
Mm.
So they transferred me to Delhi. Unfortunately, 6 weeks later, his contract was over and he came.
Oh.
Anyway, I took up in one of those, what do you call it, Barsatis?
Yes. Yes.
In Defense Colony.
Yes.
Put up home there. Then teamed up with another friend, Parsi girl called Katie.
Mm.
And from Defense Colony, we moved to, Army Quarters?
Princess Park?
Etna, where all the Army Quarters are there. Punjabi Bagh?
Is it Punjabi Bagh? All right. I'm not sure. Dhola Kua maybe.
No, next to that market. Anyway, it'll come to me.
Okay.
So there was with Colonel Sen and his wife, Rainey.
Okay.
I stayed with them for 3 months. Then I gave up that job after some time and I was looking around for another job. And of course, we had to go to the post office to make phone calls. Mm. There were no cell phones and letters. And then my father told me, you better come home. He didn't know I had quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
While I was looking for a job, I found another job. Mm. In the meanwhile, my dear friend Roma called up my office to talk to me. And they said that she's quit.
Okay.
So she whispered in my sister's ear, you know, she's quit her job. So we don't know what she's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So she told father. Father wrote me a letter saying, you better come home. Don't force me to come and get you. So I said, okay, that would be quite, you know, inglorious to drag back.
Right.
Packed my bags and I arrived in Calcutta. And who should greet me at the station is Roma Hira. She was very close to my sister at that time. My sister was a beautician. She was running this huge clinic called Mademoiselle in Calcutta. And Roma used to hang around there. I had met her because when I was in Bangkok, Mary for Calcutta, I had approached her to come and run our canteen. She was always interested in food.
So let's take a second to talk about Roma Hira, because that's something that you and I have so much in common.
Yeah, well, this segment is nothing but Roma.
Yeah.
When I got off the train and I saw her, I said, why the hell did you tell everybody that I quit my job? So she was quite bashful and taken aback. She said, well, I thought that, you know, for the sake of the family, they should know what you're up to.
Mm.
So I said, okay, anyway, I came home. Then Roma and I hung around in my sister's beauty parlor.
Mm.
You know, she had a slimming section, a hairdressing section, a facial section, a sauna section. It was huge. It was a 3-bedroom flat, which was converted.
Wow.
One of its kind in Asia at that time.
Amazing.
Mm. Yeah. So we hung around over there. My sister worked and Roma and I just lounged around. Okay, Romy, give me a pedicure. She was good at it.
Okay.
Just for the heck of it. Then I had a lot of blackheads. So I was the guinea pig for everything.
Right.
And Roma and I started hanging around. And then suddenly my sister said, you know, hey, excuse me, I'm there too. What are you two doing? You're off to the movies. You're off to lunch. You know, all during the time. She used to get to work at 8 in the morning and come back after 6.
Mm-hmm.
We just crossed the street.
Mm-hmm.
The days we made a program, both of us would jaunt off to go and see a movie. We'd have lunch in Sky Room. And then we'd come home at tea time and find that she's already home. And then I also discovered that Roma was literally living in our house.
Mm-hmm.
She just went home to sleep. First month or so, I watched this and I asked my sister, I said, what's happening with this girl?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's got a terrible time with her mother. She's not quite normal. And so she spends the day with us. Because first couple of weeks I saw she came for lunch. Then she came for tea with Sudha. Then in the evening she came back for dinner. You know what was happening?
Mm.
Once I got used to it, I was free. And she was free. So for 6 months we loitered all over Calcutta. Till Mrs. Birla came one day and offered me this job in Birla Building. And then Roma and I started hanging out.
Mm.
The Sky Room was our favorite.
Mm.
And she was, I think at that point, 80 kilos only. And very, very light on her feet.
Mm.
Mm. And she loved shopping.
Mm.
Shopping in the same vegetable, fruit, and non-veg. She'd pick up a teller and go off to the market every morning, which I found fascinating. I'd never been to the market.
I can just imagine Roma doing it. For all those who are listening in and all the viewers, Roma Hira was a dear, dear friend and an Aurovillian. And many of you know Roma's Kitchen. That was one of the institutions that was in Auroville. And Roma passed, when was it, Rita? About a year back, a little over a year.
25th of April, 2020.
Yeah, 2020, and she's someone who's very dear. And if this conversation is also becomes a tribute to Roma, so be it. Because for both Rita and me, Rita much more, because Rita's, you know, so much of her life at Roma.
But, actually, I'm totally bereft with her gone. I don't know what to do with myself. To really sort of pull myself out and say, no, no, I must do this. But it's not the same without her. Roma. And,
going to the market, jaunting off to the market.
Then I started working for the Birlas. So we were setting up their offices, Birla building, 16-story building. I would go and collect samples, and Roma would help me, and then she would come into my office and put all this. And every time we went out together, people would recognize me, because Roma was with me. They'd seen this fat person. I said, Romy, I'm dressed in trousers and t-shirt. They shouldn't be able to recognize me. It's because of you. Why don't you lose weight? So she used to tell me, you should be grateful. I'm not slim, because then nobody will look at you.
Oh, that's Roma.
Yeah.
That's Roma.
Every time I told her, slim down, she said, no, I'm far too beautiful. If I become slim, nobody's going to give you any patta. I said, oh, so you're staying fat for my sake. And then decided, we had, I don't know if you ever met Prem Malik.
No, I've heard so much about him, but I've never met him, no.
Roma was friendly with his niece, Meenakshi.
Okay.
And she met him. He was working with, I think, Lipton's.
Okay.
No, ITC. Or whatever, one of these, you know, companies.
Was it Unilever? Was it Unilever?
Hindustan Lever, yes.
Hindustan Lever, yes. Yes, yes.
He quit at the age of 52 or 53 to go to Oroville. So he used to come and go and come and go. And we used to meet him and run around, you know, wherever he was. He usually used to come for fundraising, Oroville and Ashram or at Loggerheads, and Oroville had no money. So that was his job. Then he persuaded Roma to go live in Oroville. I made several trips with Roma time. And she met up with Deepthi and Arjun. I had gone to, in between, I'd gone to Europe and America for about 4 months. She used to write to me that she's found this beautiful place. And when I come back, I must go. I came back after 4 months, joined work. I'd taken special leave for that. And 15 days later, she brings these tickets and says, we are going to Oroville. And I don't have the face to ask for leave. Anyway, ask. But Mr. Birla was very kind. So he gave me leave. And then we went to Oroville. And we used to live in Pondicherry.
Yeah.
Oroville had two or three houses over there.
How was Oroville at that time, Rita?
Oroville was, I mean, would be what?
Physical space and people. And
Oroville was absolutely barren. They had planted a lot of trees. A lot of people, there were some community, Aspiration was one community. And then Oromadel, Pashi Kapoor had one. Which was like, you know, when you go to buy a house and they have one flat set up to show you how it looks.
Yes.
Everybody used to go there to see, okay, this. They had no electricity. They had water. They had no, of course, TV and telephone were out of the question. And they had certain things called huts. And some of these huts were on a treetop.
The keet huts? Were they the keet huts?
Yeah. Deepthi and Arjun, Arjun came much later. Deepthi and her family were there in Pondicherry. Mamaji had her flat in Pondicherry. So we used to stay in this guest house. Krishnaji used to be over there and move around. Then finally, Roma decided to shift there. The craziest thing is that Mamaji told her that you'll never shift because Rita will not let you shift because of your attachment. So I told him, I said, it's not so. Mm. It's not that I'm holding her back. She has to take a decision. She has to decide whether she wants to leave the city, leave the flat, go and make a home over there. It's up to her, because I'm always going to be there. So we decided that I would stay back, look after her flat, and she would go. And she started working in Aspiration for 400 rupees as the, what do you call it there?
Maintenance.
Maintenance. And her cigarette expenses were 800.
Yeah.
So I said, Shata, what are you going to do? No, no, I have to do this. Then she's to cook for the community.
Yeah.
Then she started in Puttus. Through Puttu, she started this service of giving food, catering.
Mm.
People would come and collect their food and go. She had a marvelous time.
Mm.
Marvelous time. And of course, every time I visited, you know, at least in my 10 days trip, 4 days would be such where she's sitting and crying. What the hell is the matter? Look at them. Look at these babies. They hardly get anything to eat. I'm going to cook mutton and rice for them. I said, cook, who's stopping you? So 5 kgs of mutton and rice made for all the community bachas to eat. She was such a softy.
Yeah.
So, absolute soft. And she moved around from Aspiration to somewhere else. Then in Oromadel. We stayed in Nami's house. And then Oromadel, all my visits. Then in between, I became diabetic. We had to carry my insulin in a flask. And first time when I went there, she had to tell us that we were staying with us.
You're so staying with us.
The community, we have stayed in all the houses.
Okay.
Turn by turn.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I became insulin dependent, she used to give me my insulin shots. Till my sister went to the UK and brought what you call the insulin gun, which is nothing. It's a stupid little contraption with the syringe loaded over there. And instead of poking yourself, you just shot. This is an aluminium thing, like because most people don't have the courage to poke themselves.
Correct.
So I was going around with this, and one evening I was at some party or the other, and I needed to take my evening shot. I went to the toilet and took out my gun and I was trying to shoot myself full of insulin. When the bloody thing blew out.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So fortunately, the syringe didn't break. I picked it up and I said, I'm fed up of this gun nonsense. Picked up, pressed the thing and poked myself. And that was the end of that gun. After that, every time Dova used to get on my diabetes, don't do this, don't eat this. Take your medicine, take your shot, walk. You know, she was like obsessed with it. One day I told her, I said, this is my diabetes. I will manage with it. You don't have to worry. That was that. Then, of course, she moved to Dana. And she worked with me. I also moved to Pondi.
Yes, yes.
So she left in 88. And in 92, I was visiting her. Liv Kapoor was on his motorcycle. We were visiting Sunaina Nini Bandine. And he said, Roma, where is that friend of yours you keep talking about? Let's get her here. I want a person in my factory.
This is Dilip Kapoor of Hyde Design, right?
That's right. So he told him, here she is, she's sitting right behind me. So he said, would you be interested in shifting? I said, yeah, why not? And then he came to see me in Dana. And talked about his factory. I said, listen, I have no idea what is leather or not leather product. All I can give you is integrity. That's all I want, because there were a lot of tests and stuff going on. So lo and behold, I shifted to Pondicherry.
Pondicherry.
Got a beautiful Duplay house on Romay Roland Road. Yeah, and Roma used to go to the market and get all my non-veg stuff. Different portions, this is for one person, this is for four persons, this is if you have guests, and stock up my freezer and push off every day at about 10 o'clock at night. Because she was working with Anseuse de Oroville. It was called Anseuse de Oroville at that time.
Okay, okay. No, it was not Maroma, it was Anseuse de Oroville.
Changed name later. So she was working there. She'd come over in the evening, we'd have dinner together, roam around. Go to Sunday market. Did you know of a thing called Sunday market?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Okay, Nehru Street used to have a Sunday market every Sunday morning. The whole of Oroville and youngsters from Pondicherry would end up over there.
Really?
Yeah, cheap materials. Yeah, yeah, cheap materials. And then t-shirts and shorts, all kinds of stuff. Sequined and, you know, everything all the youngsters wanted. So every Sunday we'd go and buy. And then every trip I came to Calcutta, I brought gifts, sequined t-shirts, sequined glasses and parallels and shirts for the boys and all that. So that was one of our major highlights.
Yeah.
Roma and I used to walk,
up and down. Wow. Up and down. Amazing.
And every time I think of her when she was mobile, I say to myself, those were really the days.
Yeah.
Those were really the days.
Yeah. It was before her body caught up with her, right?
And, her body caught up last couple of years, actually. And I was working with Dilip, and then he made a proposal to Roma to come and do the marketing, domestic marketing. So she joined over there. She used to travel, setting up new shops all over India. And then, of course, there was a demand for the material bags and all. And I was the general manager. And I would tell her, I'm sorry, I can't give you. And then we would have arguments and all. And Dilip would sit there and tell everybody, see their best friends. See how they're fighting? Their best friends. Dilip, what's wrong with you? No, he says, I love to see you fighting. This fighting thing became quite the thing. You know, because used to, Jan used to have a house opposite her. Have you met Jan Dime? Jan is Baba's mother.
No, I haven't met. Haven't met her.
So she was very close to Roma. So there was only one room when I moved to Pondi. Roma had only one room, a bathroom and kitchen. With a small little sliver. Then, of course, the veranda was extended. Jan would ring up. By then, telephones had come.
Okay.
Yeah. TV had also been installed. Jan would ring up. Have you fought yet?
I guess nothing makes a chemistry more evident than a fight, you know? Yeah. The way the dynamics of the fight are very different if there exists a great chemistry. So, yeah.
I have no idea. Even later on, even Namrita would bring up every morning, have you fought yet, darling? I said, no, not yet. It's only the third day. Yeah, but usually 3 days is the limit. What is to fight about? Just argue. I used to nag her. She used to tell me to butt out. Then if I said, okay, I'm not coming to the kitchen today. Nothing is for me to do other than go to Pondicherry or go to the kitchen. But if I said, okay, I'm going to Pondi, so she said, okay, I'll hire you a car, going to Pondi. Within 1 hour, where are you? What are you doing? What have you shot? How much money have you spent? Are you coming back or not? Yeah, I'm coming back. Who have you invited to lunch? Have you invited anybody? Because that was the only place I could meet everybody.
Right.
Invite them to lunch, invite them to dinner. And the whole pattern went on and on.
Rita, while we're talking so much about this, do you have Roma's picture somewhere?
Yeah.
Can you bring it in?
All over my house.
Can you just bring it in? And there she is. There's Roma. Looking so beautiful.
A lovely smile, eh?
Lovely smile.
I talk to her every day.
Yeah.
Normally, when she used to travel, she used to travel with mother's picture. Put it on the bedside. When I travel, most probably I'm going to have to carry Roma's picture. So she's become synonymous with mother for me.
Yeah.
From the picture, and I wish her good morning, Fata. How's the day going to be? You know?
Yeah.
Many a times I say, why don't you call me? You know?
Yeah.
She used to call so often.
Mm. I there are times I think you guys used to talk at least 10 times a day.
5 times, so it's easy.
See?
Morning.
Yeah.
Morning before I went to work. Then at lunchtime, then when she returned from Maroma, and then before going to the kitchen, then coming back from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the time she saved my life?
No, tell me about that.
Well, one day a friend had visited from the States, and we met up for coffee in Fleury's, my sister, yes. Shukti and I. And I had I'm very fond of chocolate brownies.
Mm.
So I had a brownie with my coffee.
Mm.
And then when we finished, in the evening, I told my sister, I don't want to eat too much for dinner because my sugar is high. So she said, no, you only had a brownie. I said, even so. So I took a shot and I didn't eat enough.
Mm.
So I went home. I used to stay in Roma's apartment in those days.
Mm.
So I went over there, and as was normal, Roma called from the kitchen.
Mm.
And she found me sounding very strange.
Mm.
So she said, why are you sounding like that? I said, no, why? Suspecting that something was wrong, she rang up my family. So she kept me talking on the phone, and in the meanwhile made a call to the family, telling them that somebody should go across. And knowing the flat, you know, it has a very heavy iron bar across it. So she kept telling me, open the door. And by then, I think my sugar was dropping.
Mm.
I was just telling her in a sing-song voice, open the door. Mm. Why should I open the door? I said, Guru, just go and open the door. Because she knew they couldn't break in the door with that iron door.
Mm.
Subsequently, I don't know what happened because I must have passed out.
Mm.
My brother, my nephew, my Bhabhi, poor thing, she had a bad knee. She could barely walk.
Mm.
She dragged herself from Stephen Court to Middleton Road. They arrived, I believe they picked me up, loaded in the car, took me to Bellevue. The next thing I know is that I hear my gynecologist, Rajalakshmi, saying, oh, she's coming around. And I open my eyes. I see her. I see my sister in her 90.
Mm.
Almost distraught.
Mm.
I said, why? What happened? What am I doing here?
Mm.
I said, they got you in with your sugar was only 20.
Oh my God.
If Roma hadn't
picked that up. Yeah.
Picked it up and traveled all the way to Dana and made sure that I was talking and made sure. Obviously, she got to me. I undid the door and opened it for them. So now, this is a regular joke with Deepthi, Arjun, Roma and me. So he said, well, Arjun will come and say, let's talk about open the door.
God. Yeah.
Roma, she took such good care of me without my realizing. Diabetes, then sometimes, at one time we didn't have a car. And I was stuck a couple of times in the office because of heavy rain. So any difficulty, I just pick up the phone, let me ask Roma. Romy, I can't get home. There are no taxis available. I can't get out. Okay, I'm coming. Hop into a cab. I don't know how. Get over there, pick me up, bring me
home. Amazing.
And she used to do. And then she had this eye for clothes also. Although she always wore this long sleeve shirt, it became short sleeves later on.
Yeah.
So suddenly I'll find, she'll say, I saw a very beautiful sari.
Mm.
I said, yeah. She said, I picked it up for you. And invariably, it would be the most gorgeous thing I've ever worn.
Mm. Mm.
So she'd collect these saris for me. And anytime I got dressed, I said, okay, will this do? Mm-hmm. Ironing is not done properly. Then you can take it off and iron it. She's particular about ironing, you know.
Mm, amazing. Amazing.
And nowadays, in the last 4 or 5 years, when all her suits were sent for ironing and then the folds, I knew how particular she was. I would sit down and iron out all the folds from her trousers and shirts.
Mm.
And hang it up. Will this do, Roma? Oh, there's a little bit of crease over there. And say, okay, I'm taking it off. But I was also quite
amazing.
Mean. I was also quite mean to her. I'd get on her case about losing weight.
Mm.
And now I realize how difficult it was to move, you know. A lot of people indulged her, like Saudharmani would say, no, Roma, don't get up. I'll get this for you. I would sit there. I said, no, I'm not getting up. You get up and go to the dining table and get it.
Mm.
It looks so sad. Cocker spaniel eyes, please. Mm. Please. Mm. Finally, I'd give in and go. But I realized that that was quite mean.
I think that was your attempt to try to get her to move, no, Rita?
I said, only 5 minutes, babe. Get up 5 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll promise. She promised. She never said no to me. Mm. I'll promise. Then I'll get on the phone and say, have you put on more weight? No, I haven't. I said, get on the weighing machine. No, I only do that on Monday morning. I said, okay, you do it tomorrow morning for me. I was so obsessed with her weight.
Mm.
Actually, that's what killed her, you know, her weight.
Mm.
And last trip she made over here, we had to take her to the hospital, to the court for her plant. To get a proper wheelchair, you know, she needed a bigger wheel. And who was going to push her?
Mm.
And then when we came back, I told her, I said, Romy, next time you come, you have to get somebody with you.
Mm.
Mm. Earlier, I used to hire from the center.
Mm. Mm.
We didn't need that much. By lunchtime, we would release them because I'd be there home by 5 o'clock. And in any case, she would sleep. But those remarks, they really bother me sometimes, telling her next time you can't, you bring somebody with you.
Mm.
That was sad. But she loved that kitchen.
Mm.
And Laura and what's his name?
Paul, right? Paul?
Yeah, Paul. They gave her a very hard time when she decided to take on the kitchen.
Mm.
I felt that, you know, her attention would go away.
Mm. But she managed both beautifully for a long time.
Can you imagine with that?
How did she do that? Yeah.
That body working 14 hours a day?
It's amazing. No, something else would carry her, Rita. And that was so obvious, you know. It's her spirit was so amazing. Yeah. You know, I could go on talking with you about this, but we've really done a lot on time. So let me bring it back to you a little bit as well, Rita. You worked for many years in the Birla schools, right? And director of their schools for a long time, am I correct?
So I was secretary general of the trust that ran the schools.
Yeah.
25 years, 26 wow. years.
That's a long time. And what do you think is your, I believe each individual has something unique to offer the world. It's a gift we all have uniquely, like Roma did. What do you think yours is, and what do you think Roma's was?
Well, Roma's was always trying to help people. Actually, she had a very interesting life before she went for Pondicherry with the parents and her sister and all. I don't know if she ever told you that.
She did. She told me some.
So that was tough. And she loved her smoking. She loved her drinking. She loved her food.
I remember raising many glasses of single malt with her, even when she wasn't well, at least a glass or a little bit of, and we'd do that.
She loved all the good things in life.
Mm.
And even whatever outfits were towards the end, those trousers and all, had to be best quality, had to be best tailor to stitch it. The embroidery on a thing has to be done just so. Food has to be made just so, you know. And then her father had an import license for wines and drinks. As a child, she used to take those little display bottles and drink up with water, tea water. So she had a taste for alcohol from childhood. And I didn't know what was single malt. And I would bring her a whiskey and she would say, you should have bought a single malt. I said, please explain to me what it is. You give me a glass of whiskey and I say, it's bitter. I have no palate for it. Wines and drinks and food and pastries and cakes.
Yeah, the works. Yeah.
We loved the good life.
Yes. And
when, when we watched, you know, movies on video.
Yeah.
If they first tell me, is this a poor man's movie? I don't want to watch it. I've had enough of being poor.
Yes. I want to
watch a movie of a rich, comfortable family.
So amazing. No, and the thing is that she shared it, you know, it gave her a lot of joy. Yeah, too.
Very generous.
Yeah, very incredibly generous. With her time, her attention, her, it was just amazing.
And, you know, I was very rigid in the sense, if you said even a white lie, I would get on her case. And sometimes if she would borrow money, I would get on her case. I said, this is not right. I was very rigid. That was my upbringing. And on something apart from my upbringing, I think every individual person comes with a personality trait.
Sure.
Mine, that I didn't want any kind of fraud or any kind of taking money, borrowing money. I detest it.
Yeah.
Like there would be times when I'll find that she borrowed money from someone and we'd have a huge fight. Why do you borrow money? But I'm going to give it. It was just because I didn't have it. No, you're not to do it. This kind of little things. So, and I think somewhere she took it to heart because obviously she didn't borrow it for the thrill of it. She obviously had the difficulty. But when she went to Oroville, if I told her, it's okay, you can debit this to the company, you know, just as a joke, she said, no, I'll never do that. She just turned a new leaf. And her integrity was just too much.
Impeccable.
And her generosity, like that Sam,
it's
the boy.
Her generosity is legendary in Oroville. You know, it's the stuff of Oroville legends, I feel, you know?
Yes. Like I was talking to Arjun the other day. Roma, they used to tell me, is she making money? They were very curious. I said, she says she's not making money. So how can you run a restaurant and not make money? And which is true. I tell her, Roma, how can you run a restaurant and not make money? Then I said, show me your balance sheet. Show me your tax thing. Show me this, show me that. And then I would make her suggestions, like maybe you could raise the prices. Maybe you could reduce the portions. You know, all kinds of tips to. No, she says, I'm not here to make money. I'm here to offer service. Anybody falls sick in Oroville, she's sending them food, sending them soup, sending them broth, anybody. And if it was a child, then of course, talking about Roma's attachment to children and how soft she was. One day coming from Pondicherry, she on her motorcycle, she knocked a child down. Child, you know, children on that road, they're all the time running up and down. So she did this. Finally, child got hit. Child fell down and started crying, and Roma's crying also. And this whole spectacle, Roma's crying, the child is crying, and then she's giving money to the child's parents to take the child to the hospital. Then for a month and a half, coming and going, she's meeting this child's parents, giving them money, giving them medication, giving them food. I said, Roma, you're mad. Now it is over. It's not required anymore. They're just making use of it. But that's how she was.
Absolutely. And so much he did for, so much he did for Orville. So much, my God.
Always, always. Sam was a little boy.
Yeah, yeah.
She put him to school over here. She found us, a friend of ours used to run a Montessori house.
Mm.
She put him over there. Then she had an afternoon school. So put him through school. Then he worked around over here. He also learned the passion for cooking. Then came and worked with her in Norway.
Yes, of course. And he was very good. He was a great cook.
Very good. Very good.
Trained by Roma. No? So.
Yeah. Mm. And what about Sriram?
Yeah.
He had his accident.
Yeah.
And he called her and said that, I'm sorry, I've busted your motorcycle, had an accident. She wasn't worried about her motorcycle.
Mm.
She rushed over there, got him in hospital every day, morning, noon, and night. Mm. He was looking after him. He laid his life for her.
Yeah, because that's the kind of loyalty she would bring out in people, because she was so genuine in the way that she reached out to them.
Yeah, as you say, we could talk forever.
We could talk forever. I know. Yeah. So tell me, Rita, what about you? What is it that you bring? As I mean, you talk so much about Roma, and it's such an integral part of your life. But you, as an individual, what do you think you
basically integrity, discipline, passion for the job at hand, everything. I mean, if something has to be done, it has to be done right, with full energy. So in my entire career, that is the main thing that all through my life, can't stand to tell lies.
Mm.
Everything has to be, you know,
above board. Mm.
I can't deny the workers their rights.
Mm.
That's why they still miss me. When they don't get what they want, they ring me up. Mm. I said, then I feel a sense of regret. Why did I be? I should have seen this through.
Mm.
I should have seen that this fellow got confirmed. Then I tell myself, I mean, there's no end to that.
Mm.
Everybody's hired by me. Everybody's looked after by me. But if some of them are being thrown out for some reason, they're all competent. I never hired anybody merit the job.
Mm.
So certain things, because of the pandemic, they're not giving them their rights.
Mm.
So they come to me, if it was you, this would have never happened. I said, but when I left, I told you all that change is the only constant.
Yeah.
So expect the change, embrace the change. You have my sympathies. If there's anything I can do, I will do. But you have to learn to work and live without me.
So would that be a message that you would give out to youngsters who, like, starting out now, Rita, or in the middle of their careers and life, and looking at the beautiful, checkered, incredible life you've lived, you and Roma, what would you tell them? What would you advise? And if you don't like the word advisor, what's your input to?
Well, I think they should be very conscious of their actions.
Mm.
Like I've been saying that to my nieces and nephews, that every action has a reaction, has consequences.
Mm.
You must take responsibility for your actions. Mm. And if you learn to behave in a responsible manner, then you can choose to deal with the consequences.
Absolutely.
But otherwise, just doing a job for the sake of the money that it brings you really is not much joy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we close out this conversation, Rita?
What can I say? I mean, I don't feel that I've done much in my life. You think my life is incredible, but I think I've just... my mother used to say, why do you give up jobs just when you have established yourself? I once mentioned this to a guru Ben of my father. This is hard. I said, you know, my mother says that I give up. She said, that's because in your life, you have come here to build. I like to build something. and then move away without sitting and resting on my laurels.
Wow. I think that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that that has played out for you? You see that that
always.
Has?
Yeah. Always. Mm-hmm. Every job, they require to build something. You know, built it, then I moved on. Built it, moved on. Mm-hmm. And without any regrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people feel that, oh, I have built this and I deserve to be here and I should be here and reap the fruits of my labor. For me, no.
Mm-hmm.
I think that way, even though I've not read the Gita or any of these scriptures, I believe that you should not look for the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do your karma, maintain your dharma. And sounds very pompous, but that's how it's worked out. For me.
Doesn't sound pompous at all, because I hardly ever hear you allude to any of this. It's just the present moment, living it, and that's what you embody.
Yeah.
And I think that is so beautiful.
Thank you.
And so freeing, you know, because you've lived your life like a free spirit. You've decided your course. And I think that is so beautiful. Thank you so much, Rita.
Not at all.
Spending this time with me and for us to sit and talk about and for me to listen to more about Roma, because like you, I really miss her. So
you have to come.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes, as I said, we definitely, that's very much on my mind. That's a trip I have to make to come and spend some time with you in Kolkata again.
Kolkata or Pondicherry, wherever.
Oh, well, yeah.
The divine takes us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
She was so fond of you.
And I of her.
Yeah. So happy to see your face, Shiva. Makes me feel like I'm looking at Roma at the background. Roma sitting somewhere.
She is, no? She is right through this. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rita. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure mine. Pleasure is mine.
Thank you. And take care. Thank you for your time and attention and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.